in 2.5 decades, the New York Knicks are going to a conference final, and they do it in dominant fashion as they defeat the Celtics in 6 games. It's their largest playoff win ever.
Losing to the Knicks feels like death. I was always taught that there's life after death, so we'll get ready for whatever's next in the journey, I'll be ready for.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and 3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Good afternoon and welcome to WEEI Afternoons, broadcasting live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. Hurry in to get employee pricing on the full lineup of vehicles. Ford, from America, for America. And you heard it right there. It felt like death. It's kind of a quick and slow death all at once. And I don't even know if we can do that, Nick Fitzy Stevens. But that game was over, as you would say, with an A and an H. I was able to take off my Jaylen Brown jersey, never to be worn again.
Wait, hold on a second. Now you've cast it asunder. It's done? Cursed?
Now it's just relegated back to where it came, and that's pool and beach duty. Never again to be worn in public or at Fenway Park or at Scores.
Andy, you know, Andy, you know what I think this is? Let's try to be as positive, optimistic, or at least appropriately analytical as we can today, because I know a lot of people are still languishing, suffering, and maybe still just flat out shell shocked, like you, like me, like everybody on this program and throughout the nation that bleeds green, as to how things went down Friday night. Because I'm still not quite sure exactly how the Celtics played perhaps their best game in the last 5 years, followed up by their worst game of at least the last 5 years, maybe of all postseason kind. But maybe
if it was 1919, I would accuse them of, throwing the game, because that's how ugly it was.
It was that bad. It was super fugly. It was gross, and all of the negative descriptives you could possibly imagine. But maybe this is an opportunity for you to get a new jersey, because there's going to be the turning of a new page, a new chapter with the Boston Celtics. Now I think this one is rapidly drawing to a close as decisions are going to have to be made by the Brad Stevenses and the Bill Chisholms and the Joe Mazzullas and the players on this team and of the world. It's a very cathartic, melancholy moment in Celtics history right now.
Yeah, I don't know about the big words, but it sucked on Friday night. I sat down with a Miller Lite hoping to have a fun night of basketball, and it never developed, even with my guy Jaylen Brown playing well in the first half. He was the only guy who showed up. This reminded me, in the old days, when I was breaking down Patriots games, game after game, in the mid-2000s and the dynasty, and it was like, well, how could the opponent win? And I'd be like, well, if the bus doesn't show up, they got a shot. If the Patriots bus misses the trip from the hotel. It felt like the Celtics bus didn't show up. You had nothing to go along with Jaylen Brown, and
nothing.
He predictably tried to do too much as the game evolved into the second half, and that's how he ended up in foul trouble and with bad numbers. He showed up to play. You know, I think history, people are going to want to talk about, oh, Jaylen Brown did it once when Tatum went down, but he couldn't
do it again.
He showed up. It's everyone. It's all the rest of y'all that left him on an island by himself, and then the whole thing petered out because there was no supporting cast. It was like they paid the stars. This is a big blockbuster movie. We pay the star and there's zero supporting cast because they left him out there.
No effects budget.
Die. No.
Yeah, no,
yes.
Yeah, no effects budget. No supporting cast. You could see like the ping pong balls on all the green screen suits and everything from motion capture. Now, Andy, he tried so hard. And of course, this is not going to be, I'm sure Ted will have a lot to say about it tomorrow as well. But one of his mantras is no excuses. He hates excuses.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to spend a large portion of today's show or our own personal or professional histories looking back on this saying, well, you know, once Tatum got hurt or Brown was playing on a partially torn meniscus and, you know, Drew Holiday got a case of the olds and Horford is 40 and Porzingis had, some Harry Potter fever or some random virus. Like, no. We're not going to point back to that. Celtics blew a bunch of games and they should have won, at least been tied up, if not won that series. They are victims of their own device there right now, but nobody should be criticizing Jaylen Brown. I repeat, nobody for the effort. And, you know, yeah, okay, he had some turnovers. These things happen. Where was everybody else on Friday? What happened to Derek White's defense? What happened to Drew Holiday's ability to body guys up and force them off their spot and alter their games? It looked like they, you know who the Celtics were Friday night, Andy? They were five guys with the little orange sticks on the runway, just getting your jet out of like the jetway and onto the runway, or just pointing which way they wanted to go. Like they were just an escort service that delivered the Knicks to the basket time and time again in what is truly, since the Willis Reed days of the New York Knickerbockers, a signature victory for that franchise.
Dan Ball raised his hand when you said, who is going to criticize Jaylen Brown? And suddenly, Dan Ball, what? You have a comment?
No, I just have a stat, which is very consistent. In the first half, I saw this floating around, and I sent this to you guys, just to prove Jaylen Brown versus the field in how much
he... In case anyone wants to criticize him. You, Ted Johnson, I know you're listening, and I know that little emoji you like to send at certain portions of Celtic games when maybe Jaylen Brown turns it over or maybe Jaylen Brown misses a shot. That is not chocolate ice cream. That's all I'm saying. That is not soft-serve chocolate ice cream. So
it's
you can
a poop
keep that emoji.
Yeah, just thinking back to that Ted. Scene in, what's that, in Me, Myself, and Irene? Yeah. Go ahead, Dan Ball, what you got?
So Jaylen Brown was Joe Castiglione's favorite number, 7 of 13, 3 for 6 from beyond the arc. Yeah. Rest of the team, 7 for 29, 24.1%.
Ouch.
And 1 for 13 from 3. So you're very literally getting nothing.
Nothing.
After, and to the credit of Derek White and company, he got a supporting cast performance that maybe we weren't expecting in Game 5, but the pendulum swung all the way back the other
way. But I thought we had talked about, Fitzy, that this is the deepest, most talented team in basketball, and, oh, these guys could all start if they were on other teams and step up and average 20 or 30 points. My ass. They're all poor, complimentary players who, when the going got tough,
all
faded.
Every...
Everybody not named Jaylen Brown. You give me somebody else that I should be patting on the back for their performance on Friday night.
Guys, it was a... So the final score...
Oh, wait. I
literally forgot the final score. I had to remind myself again, checking the box score and prep for today's show, that it was a... Here's the crazy thing. It was a 38-point defeat. It didn't feel that close.
Wasn't and, like, nearly that close.
Nah, no chance. No, it should have been a 138-point defeat.
50 plus.
But, like, I want to ask you, and I want to ask the audience at large as well, like... Did you sit there with said Miller Lite or Miller Lights, on the sofa in your dude
Fine
chair
Pilsner,
wherever you
yeah.
were? Like, did you sit there and watch the whole game, or did you do like what I imagine a lot of other people did? Like, I didn't miss any of the game, but I quickly switched from, oh, I'm not gonna sit down on the sofa here and just get absolutely blasted watching this game. Like, no, I'm gonna, like, I put it on, I switched it from TV to phone, then brought the phone with me, unloaded the dishwasher, swept up, like, I did things because I just couldn't stand the idea of just sitting there idly watching the Celtics get eviscerated in front of it. Was just, it was so uncomfortable that I couldn't just sit there and watch the whole thing, full well knowing the scene that was to unfold outside on 33rd Street and 7th Avenue. Have they cleared that yet outside MSG?
Was that guy sitting on top of the frickin' wherever the hell?
Sitting atop an electric street sign, yes.
Yeah, why?
Somehow he climbed up there in sandals.
Why not?
Dumb. Because it's a bad idea. I don't know, like, I don't have enough beer muscles, beer climbing ability, beer goggles, beer anything.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're an adult, theoretically, so that's how you're supposed to think
I'm
about
very
that.
Immature, and that's just something I would never do. Anyway, I did watch the whole game, but I can tell you this. So I went home. We left Fenway Park. I had my beautiful green City Connect jersey on, Rich Keefe. I'm driving home. I wear that thing the whole way home. I take it off because it's a Celtics game. And I walk into a house filled with high school kids who are literally bouncing off the roof. They all had Celtics jerseys on. They're jacked up. They're screaming. They're yelling. And that lasted about, I don't know,
7-8 minutes.
I'll give them like 20 minutes to a half hour. By the third quarter, They were all leaving. What's the score now? We're leaving. Like, they canned that game.
Thanks for the wings,
halftime.
Mr. Hart. See you next fall.
Absolutely. They were gone. I don't know whether they were going to a party or doing whatever high school kids do on a Friday night, but they could not have gone from more invested in that game to an hour later being not caring, less invested, off to the teenage life that is pre-college.
Kind of matched the Celtics.
Yes. No. They brought more energy. They brought way more energy to start the game than the Celtics did. The Celtics, other than Jaylen Brown, and I know I'm the Homer Honk, 617-779-7937. If any of you want to yell at Jaylen Brown or say he wasn't ready or he let the team down playing on a bad meniscus, those calls today and we'll fight it out. Because I think he showed up and he tried to show out and everybody else ditched him. Everybody. And I include his coach on that. because his coach didn't have his team ready to play. Joe Mazzulla, yeah. That's your job.
Andy, can I also just one big takeaway I have? No, Joe Mazzulla did not have a great postseason by any stretch of the imagination. And no, this is not going to be the Joe Mazzulla call for his job, Mazzulla referendum show, though I will be the first of many to say I don't necessarily think that he did a ton to help the team win or find ways to get them out of the hole. But again, he didn't miss all those shots in game one, game two, game four, and subsequently game six as well. But I do want to go back to both the iterations of this show and even some other shows that I did last fall on the weekends, on nights, whenever.
Brad.
Many times, you and I both tried to play the trust our eyes game. Like, it was the eye test. And as the Celtics had a swoon in the middle of the season, or they would have their games against OKC, and obviously that's a very good team because they're in the Western Conference Finals and could well be NBA champions. A lot of times we said, there's something just doesn't feel right about this team. Something feels off. And I just want to point back that it's okay to sometimes, you know, trust your gut, trust your eyes. You've seen a couple few several thousand basketball games in your life. And while no one is going to like entrust the two of us to be the new shepherds of the Boston Celtics organization, you know, blow up the roster, reconstruct it, or coach a game. At the same time, like I do, it's not patting ourselves on the back. It's more just like, you know, I'm glad we said what we said, and we should believe it as opposed to letting people shout us down from, you know, the Banner 18 mountaintop. You guys don't know what you're talking about. Oh, come on. It's ridiculous. This team's a wagon. They're going to... No, something felt off, and here we are.
And one of the things I thought of, because this collapse, this failure to me is up there with some of the great failures in the history of Boston
collapse.
Sports.
That's the word. It is an utter collapse, Andy. Yes.
The Bruins, the 2007 Patriots, and the first thing I thought of, because I mocked it back then, when that behind-the-scenes footage, and we'll get to some more behind-the-scenes footage later when we talk about Forged in Foxborough, the longest thing I've ever watched on YouTube.
At least it was
holy mercy.
It's at least like it was objective, right?
Yeah, it's not objective, and we'll get to that later, but there was one of those behind-the-scenes pieces with Belichick that he said, well, if you cover Moss over the top and you cover Welker underneath, we're screwed. What are we going to do then? And I was thinking, no one's come close to doing that, so why are you worried about that? Now when I look at Joe Mazzulla and this team, he never has that conversation. He never has the, well, what if we miss all our threes conversation? What if our style of play, which is really successful, we rack up 60 wins, we won a title, I don't think Joe Mazzulla ever says, what if ... the other team does this? And maybe that's a lesson he learned as a young coach this year, this postseason, having an off-speed pitch, so to speak, schematically, something to turn to. Because I don't, Fitzy, you said, well, he didn't miss all those shots. He missed a timeout. He missed an obvious timeout when he could have changed a game. Joe Mazzulla was complicit in this loss. And I think the biggest factor for him is that inability to know when his team doesn't have it, to adjust, to come up with something different. And maybe that's a good thing for the future of the Celtics and his coaching career, because maybe this slaps him in the face with reality of NBA basketball. But that's what I thought of. Belichick over-preparing when he had Moss and Welker and the greatest show on turf type offense. Mazzulla being like, well, it's what Scal's told us all year. Well, there's not going to be multiple games where they don't shoot well in a series. That's why no one's ever going to beat them in a 7-game series, Fitzy. Guess what? It didn't take 7. And you didn't lose the series just because Tatum got hurt. You were down 3-1 with Tatum. You lost the series because you were not a good enough basketball team, a well-coached enough basketball team. You weren't prepared for the fight that the Knicks brought to you. And the sneaky, dirty little secret, Fitzy, is
it's also
I don't even
a great
think
point.
The Knicks are good. I don't think the Knicks even played that well in this series. And they kind of took your cake and left and ate it, and it was good.
Oh, they came in. Andy, they stole supper off of the table 2 games in a row. And by the time the Celtics figured out what to do the next time the Knicks tried to come in the house and steal the food, which was game 3, the Knicks altered their game plan. The Knicks got more tenacious on defense. Their coverage
was too...
Wait, you
can do that? Joe Mazzulla's calling in now. He's like, wait, what'd you say, Fitzy? They altered their game plan?
Yeah, they did. They actually started rotating more aggressively.
It's not allowed.
And then Joe Mazzulla actually did that for a game, and it worked when his star player went down, and they played up-tempo, and they rotated the ball, and they passed better, and they were more aggressive.
Did he do that, or did his star do that? I'm going to give Jaylen Brown credit for that. He brought the tempo to that game.
Crazy thing, ready? It could have been a combination of both of them, which would be wild to think. And then by the time it got to game six, the Celtics were on their heels from Jump Street. The moment was too big, which is a surprise because you would never think such a thing of a marquee franchise that just won a world championship. But 11 months ago, the Knicks' energy, we talked about it Thursday and Friday at length. Will the moment be too big? Will that energy from the team, from all the players that see the moment, that see how huge this is for the Knicks franchise, the Garden, and it was just way too much, and the clock ran out. But you can't tell me that you can't use the excuses of the injuries. You can't say they didn't have enough talent on the floor, because they sure had enough talent on the floor to run the Knicks off in Game 5. And then come Game 6, nothing. They had absolutely nothing. So that's why I believe that word collapse is the most appropriate to describe what happened to the Celtics.
And it's fair to say that they quit in Game 6, right? At a certain point?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of quit in a sense because Jaylen Brown fouled out. I mean, when Jaylen Brown fouls out in the third quarter, that's wave the flag.
But did even before Brown did that, did you still see...
I don't know if they quit or they sucked.
Okay.
There's a fine line between quitting and sucking.
They sucked.
Two things can always be true at the same time.
And sometimes you quit because you know you sucked, and then later you can be like, pfft, I didn't even try in the second half.
Well, either way, all of that's a mental thing. And that did kind of manifest itself during that 2 to 3 month stretch. Like you were talking about, Fitzy, during the winter where they played roughly 500 basketball, they would either go up by 20 or they would get these big leads, very similar to what you saw in games 1 and 2.
Indeed.
They'd get these leads and then another team would go on a, you know, 6, 7, 8 point run. And then all of a sudden, this high and mighty Celtics team would just kind of shrivel up. And there wasn't either the coach that was making the adjustment, the coach that was motivating, or the players that were able to do that themselves. So it's a strange aspect of this year's team that I guess was in the fabric last year, but they were so talented last year, they were just able to outplay their problems. But this year, they showed a mental weakness that I don't think we expected.
617-779-7937, reacting to Friday night's dismal loss for the Celtics, 119-81. Where does the team go from here? I'll tell you where we go. We'll go to hear from Brad Stevens. He's going to talk to the media at 2:30. He's got a lot of questions to answer about his team, what it's going to look like moving forward, how this collapse happened. I know there were a lot of memes, Fitzy, making the rounds on the internet of him with his AirPods in, like, oh, look at this guy. He's already preparing to fix this and get them better. We'll see. Can they be better without Jason Tatum next year? But for the seventh straight year, the NBA will have a different new NBA champion. Parity is in the league. I don't think it's good for the league. We'll talk about that. We'll talk to Mego at 5 o'clock. She'll join us. We were supposed to be prepping for a Game 7. Instead, we're prepping for the post-mortem, the offseason, everything that brings. We'll mix in a little Red Sox. That's not great. Not going to lie to you. And we'll mix in Forged in Foxborough. All that and more coming up here on WEEI Afternoon. Stay tuned for Brad Stevens at 2:30. But first, Dan Ball, give him what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Prudential Center, located in the heart of Back Bay, features over 70 shops and eateries. Discovery at the center of it all. The Red Sox fell in the rubber game of their series against the Braves yesterday at Fenway Park. The final was 10-4 with the four runs coming on Rafael Devers' sixth career Grand Slam and first at Fenway Park. Boston's 10-game, 10-day homestand continues when they welcome in the New York Mets beginning tonight. It's Hunter Dobbins against Kodai Senga on the mound, and you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan begins at 5:45 p.m. tonight, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco will have the call of the game. Reports are stating that Celtic star Jaylen Brown finished the season with a partially torn right meniscus. He will be evaluated this week to determine if surgery is needed. The Celtics were eliminated by the Knicks in the East semifinals on Friday night. From last night in the NBA, the Thunder beat the Nuggets in a Game 7 to advance to the West Finals. They will host the Minnesota Timberwolves for a Game 1 on Tuesday. The Knicks host the Pacers for Game 1 of the East Finals on Wednesday. In hockey, the Panthers eliminated the Maple Leafs in 6 games last night. By advancing past Round 2, Florida is all but guaranteed to send a 2027 first-round pick to the Bruins to complete the Brad Marchand trade. Marchand is also the first player in NHL history to win 5 winner-take-all games against the same franchise. It's the Panthers and the Hurricanes in Game 1 of the East Final on Tuesday, then the Oilers at the Stars for Game 1 of the West Final on Wednesday. Today is Day 1 of voluntary organized team activities for the Patriots. New England is scheduled for 3 OTA sessions this week on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And Scottie Scheffler is the winner of the 107th PGA Championship. He finishes at 11 under par to win his third career major championship. Headed to Fenway for the game tonight. Park in Prudential Center's garage for just $25 for night and weekend games. Located in the heart of Back Bay, shop, dine, and discover all Prudential Center has to offer, including the View Boston Observation Deck. Just a short walk over to Fenway from the Pru. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Fenway Park coming up right after this.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
I'd rather talk about all the CBA and all that crap, but
no questions about that.
No, I know, but that's the first 10 questions were on it. You guys are terrible students. The reality is we blew the first two games, right? And that's why we put ourselves in a tough spot. Yes, you can win when you're down 2-0, but you've just diminished your margin for error, because there's going to be games like ours in game 5 where we go nuts and, you know, we're hard to beat that night, or, you know, ours in game 3 where we're hard to beat that night, but that just ties it. You know, you still have to do that 2 more times.
Celtics president of basketball operations, Brad Stevens. Quote, we blew it in the first 2 games. Yes, you did. We all knew it. So he's putting it on the players, putting it on Joe Mazzulla and those guys. Andy Hart here, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Fitzy, main takeaway from Brad Stevens as he addressed the media following that debacle of a loss on Friday night and embarks on a critical offseason.
Honest as always, I do enjoy hearing from behind the scenes, critical, analytical Brad Stevens, as opposed to, you know, Brad Stevens, the president of basketball operations, as opposed to, you know, Coach Brad or just pleasant frontman Brad. My main takeaway, aside from the fact that he was very blunt and very honest there, is that he's gonna change things. I think he's very unhappy with how things went in that series, and he knows that he helped build a spectacular team that did walk away with a championship. But the questions will linger and remain, Andy, about did they win it when other teams were injured just like they were this offseason. So he's not happy that they blew it, and I think he's going to bring some change to Tombstone.
I also think he's no Bill Belichick, so he didn't say it was an open heart surgery, but he definitely downplayed the injury to the knee of Jaylen Brown. He said structurally it's fine. He's been dealing with it. If anything, he was in a better place as the postseason wore on. I thought that was interesting. And then there was an answer about the two Jays staying together and sort of that. And he said something to the effect of, and I wrote this down, they're a huge part of us being the best version of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So if you're one of those that thought they were just going to deal off Jaylen Brown because now is the time to blow this up and prepare for when Tatum comes back, I don't think you got that air from Brad Stevens. If anything, you got the air of the guy that has been riding with those two as the pillars of his team for, you know, 8 years now, and sounds like a guy that is probably going to ride with those two being on his roster moving yep. forward, at least for this year.
Oh, the stars aren't going anywhere, but there'll be more than just some surface level or cosmetic changes as well. He definitely sounded kind of commanding for a guy who strikes us as so nice. Like, He has a firm grasp of what's gone on with this team and the work that's to come. And there's going to be a lot of it as well. But again, like the disappointment lingers. And he was also correct. Like he didn't sugarcoat anything really. Yes, he did talk about the injuries and how, you know, that's a problem. But like with the clip that we just played on Rejoin there, he admits they blew it. Like they straight up blew it. Like let that sink in. Let that sting for a while. Hopefully whoever is on the Celtics next year, the ones that return from this season, Andy, remember that and try to do everything they can to spit that bitter taste of disappointment out of their mouths.
We'll continue to react to Brad Stevens' comments following the Celtics' ugly loss to the Knicks in the playoffs. But moving forward here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock. That means it's time for a three-point stance. And I'm going to tell you somebody that it feels like a lot of people were trying to run out of town in terms of Patriot Nation. Well, guess what? This guy ain't going anywhere anytime soon. That's up next here in 3 Point Stance, WEEI Afternoons.